Before we get into this week's podcast, I've got some exciting news to share with you. We recently shared how you can get your hands on the Comrades Marathon Pacing Bands. You could order yours up front, pre-order, and then pick them up printed at the Coach Parry stand at the Comrades Marathon Expo in Durban. Since we let you know that, we have got hundreds of emails asking us exactly how to predict what your Comrades Marathon finish time might be. The good news is we've created a calculator that'll tell you exactly how to do that, okay? All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/time. The link is also in the description of this podcast. You can click on that. It'll take you straight through to the page. Plug in your best marathon time over the last 12 months, and it'll tell you exactly what your predicted Comrades Marathon finish time is for the app run this year, but also for the slightly shortened route as well. So we've done all the calculations for you. All you need to do is plug your marathon time in, and it'll tell you exactly what you can expect to run at the Comrades Marathon. All you need to do, head over to coachparry.com/time, and you can also pre-order your pace band for that exact finish time on that same page. So coachparry.com/time.
But it is not too late. And if you can add in even one session a week, it's going to really contribute to your overall performance, to your overall injury risk, and it's definitely going to help you on race day. So you want to add it in. If you've got time to add in two sessions a week, particularly over the next 5-6 weeks, then do it. It'll be so good for you.
Welcome to the next episode of Up. My name is Brad Nadalt. We've got the official Comrades Marathon coach with us, Lindsay Parry, once again. Lindsay, nice to touch base. It's a week on since our last chat, and I do often feel like we are sort of flogging a dead horse because we talk about a lot of the same things, but we do that because it's so important. But before we get into what we're chatting about today, how are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. I am also moving into peak training for my race, which is actually on the 28th of April. So things are getting pretty hairy. So quite a bit of the advice that I've got to give this week applies to me equally. And I'm really not far away from going into my taper.
I love that, Lindsay. And it's amazing. Like I've been around you for many, many years. And I'm always amazed at how training works. Like it's just so funny how like when you actually train for things, you actually perform better, which like who knew? That is just like mind blown.
Yeah, of course. And look, I have been bad on some respects. I mean, I've always been particularly good at listening to my body, but I've been quite poor in certain respects that I never really follow a plan. Because, you know, I dip in with clients sometimes to help them out. I'm on the road quite a lot, you know, some late nights doing webinars and comrades talks and that sort of thing. So routine is difficult for me. And so therefore I do spend a lot of my time running quite easy and not being on too much of a plan. But certainly because there's a lot riding on this particular marathon, just like all the listeners, I have been on a plan with a specific outcome in mind. As I'm leopard crawling towards 50, I've also put myself on one of our plans, which is geared more specifically to the older runner to give myself a little bit more recovery time. But very importantly, we are going to touch on that in this podcast, so it's relevant. More importantly is the strength training. And if I have to say one thing that I've done very diligently through this year, never mind this particular training block, is strength training. I've been super, super consistent with my strength training.
Well, just to up the ante a little bit, let's tell people what you're training for and what the goal is.
Training for the Durban International Marathon, which is on the 28th of April. And I am going to try and run a 2:55. Week on week, I've gotten the sense that it's becoming possible, but certainly at the start of this 12-week training block, which was around about the 3rd of March or so, somewhere around there. I felt like sub-3 was a real stretch, but I'm starting to get to the point where I can see enough improvement that's potentially, and I still think 2:55 for me is a stretch, but the reason I'm after 2:55 is to get a guaranteed start at Berlin in 2025.
I love it. That's fighting talk. And yeah, I mean, I joke about the training works. I mean, if anybody's been following our main YouTube channel for a while, they'll know that post-COVID, I went through a bit of a lull in my training and I put on a bit of weight, but I've been super consistent over the last few months. I managed to run two marathons last year, struggled through them, but managed to finish them. But this year, just been super consistent, not training for anything particular, and absolutely flying, feeling great. So there might be a big comeback. I don't want to commit to anything because for the first time in my life, I'm actually just loving training, which is, I think, half the battle won. I don't have this looming thing that I have to train for, and that's what's getting me out the door. I'm just loving being active and getting out on the trails and on the road and on my bike. So yeah, just really, really good. But enough of us and what we're yakking about. We had a talk, comrades, Lindsay, and we are smack bang in the middle of the first of the two big months. Heading into comrades, it was Om Di Dam yesterday. A lot of people running ultras in that at the moment. So I mentioned last week that there are probably some sore bodies, but again this week I think there's probably some sore bodies. We are going to be talking strength training, and in particular sort of what you should be doing if you have been doing, but if you haven't been doing it yet, what you need to do. That's coming up today. But let's talk a little bit about sort of, I mean, we joked a few weeks ago that comrades runners are definitely not normal. I mean, we're running ultras as training runs, Lindsay. That's just like seriously weird, but that is the case, and you do need to recover from those, even though they were or supposed to be easy. They do take their toll on your body.
Exactly, and I think we really did try and emphasize and stress, okay, well, what is easy, and to dial in on comrades race pace, but it's still 50 kilometers. So if you did Om Di Dam this past weekend, that is the reality that you face, is that sitting here on Monday, you are probably a little bit tired, and you a little bit stiff, but you definitely a little bit tired. So I think the important thing is, like, as we go through the next couple of weeks, and there are different ultras at different times of the year in the different provinces, time of the year maybe not accurate, but different weekends, so they're not all on the same weekend, and so we're not all on exactly the same program. I think that's the, or timetable. I think that's the point that I'm trying to emphasize here. So it means we're all going to do a marathon as training, or an ultra as training, or some other crazy thing as training in this period. And we just have to accept that at the very basic level, there's no way as you get to that kind of session without being really tired and without needing a little bit of downtime. So I think it's just important to take a few days, like 2-3 days of reduced training load. Make sure that you recover, particularly if you're a little bit sore. We don't have to take, or hopefully we don't have to take off an entire week. So if you got carried away, and this is important, if you got carried away, if you ran way harder than you should have, then you are better served by taking a week off and then carrying on with training than plowing on. Because remember, we don't want to get injured. We don't want to get sick. And so a week off now could save you 14 plus days of changing your training, but yeah, at least a couple of days. So just acknowledge that 50 Ks is 50 Ks, 2-3 days are very easy, recover properly, and then carry on with the rest of your week. I think that's important.
Yeah, Lindsay, and I mean, you talk about taking time from running. What about cross training? We're going to talk strength training in a moment. What happens if you have been cycling and maybe swimming? Can you continue with that, or do you need to take some time off and just recover totally, total rest?
So that's actually just such a good way of framing it. So great question. Thanks, Brad. So cross training, generally speaking, is a great substitution now. So after having run 50 Ks on the weekend, 2-3 days of swimming and cycling means that actually now you are keeping up with your training, but it's non-impact and it's allowing you to recover. Obviously, if there's pain present, then swimming possibly better than cycling. The important thing will be is, okay, how sore is it? And is there discomfort when I'm doing the cross training? And if there is discomfort doing the cross training, well, you probably then properly overdid it, and then it's a couple of days rest. But no, I really love that. That's a good coaching suggestion there, Brad. We should have swapped chairs there for a few minutes. But cross training is a very good way of keeping up and keeping the paranoia at bay, so that you can still train but we're not doing any of the joint loading that you get from running.
Yeah, and if you have picked up a niggle, or if you are in a bit more pain than you would expect and you worry that it is an injury, go back and listen to last week's podcast, watch the video. Lindsay does talk right through sort of how to deal with something if it is slightly more painful than what it should be. So if you do pick up a niggle, go and listen to that one. It's definitely going to help. So we've touched on the cross training. Let's talk strength training, Lindsay. And I think before we talk about strength training for people who haven't done, I mean, we speak about strength training lots here at CoachParry.com, but let's talk for the peeps who have been doing strength training up to this point. Obviously, we're ramping up the running mileage, so the fatigue is real. Like, there's no two ways about it. You are going to be tired. How do we adjust things with our strength training? Do we just keep bombing ahead as we have been, or do we dial that back a little bit to sort of give us a bit of a break as we push our running mileage up?
Yeah, so at the very least, what I would be doing in this period is to look to maintain the strength gain. So kind of where I'm up to now, the weights that I'm lifting and pushing, the reps, those kind of things, I certainly wouldn't increase them. So the first thing would be like, okay, I'm not going to increase that stuff anymore. I've pushed myself really nice and hard since the beginning of the year. And now I just want to really maintain, hold this ground and not get any worse. So for the next kind of 12 weeks, just really 11 weeks, not even, because you're going to, in your taper page, and cut back. So let's call it 10 weeks. For the next 10 weeks, I'm going to try and hold it steady right where it is. And then that should give you the bandwidth to up your training as we're doing that every week. We just, training's coming along. We've got these like really big training days coming up. Om Di Dum again being a classic example of that just passed. But however, if that change still isn't enough and I'm still feeling like, ooh, when I'm getting to my high intensity sessions, so the hill work sessions or any speed work sessions that are in my planned intervals, that kind of thing, and when I'm getting to the weekend, if it's like, wow, I really am just struggling on all the climbs, I'm just so tired, then I would take out one of the strength trainings and then try and maintain that strength by just having the one session per week that I can maintain through, or possibly dropping one strength every second week. So if we can go two this week, one next week, two, so on and so forth, that's another way of just adjusting that strength. So first prize, we keep it as it is, but we don't push any further ahead. Second prize is that we alternate 2-1, 2-1. And then as a minimum, we just want to keep going with once a week so we can really maintain all the strength gains we've made to now.
Yeah, maybe we should have done it the other way around, Lindsay, where we spoke about the folks who aren't doing strength training first, because I worry that we've alienated a lot of people by talking about the strength training first, because we know runners are just terrible when it comes to doing strength training. And I joke about this because we're just as bad. Like, you and I both prefer running to doing strength training, but you're a classic case of what happens when you do include strength training and the difference it makes. Before we get into what about the people who haven't been doing strength training, let's just talk about your experience. You said earlier on in this recording that this year in particular, you've really dialed in on the strength training. What difference has it made to your running?
Look, in 2023, I had just a really bad experience at Boston Marathon. I went there in 2013 and ran a 2:47 and just had the most amazing day out. And then, you know, I went back 10 years later, went with my dad. I trained pretty hard. But I did struggle with the training load when I think back on it now. But anyway, part of the problem was just this constant feeling of sore quads, and then, you know, thinking that with the taper that'll get better and then I won't experience the problem on race day. But in fact, race day was the worst. I mean, I was already sore at 5Ks, like 20Ks. I was in dire straits, and so just not a good experience. Came back from that, loads of tests, and just like got stuck into the strength training, slowly built myself up, made sure that my health was in check. Went to the Amsterdam Marathon and on quite low training volume, but very consistent on strength. I ran a 3:10 marathon and just had the greatest day out. I didn't push it. You know, I was still feeling strong right at the end. it certainly wasn't as easy as a training run. So don't misunderstand that. But, you know, just didn't have, and I didn't have the post-marathon stiffness, and that was all down to strength training. And yeah, I've been very consistent since then with, you know, if we just exclude the first 10 days of this year, whatever reason, I got super lazy running and strength training. But since then, right up until right now, I've done my two days of strength a week, and I've missed very few sessions. And yeah, it's just made a remarkable difference. I'm not running in any pain. My little chronic niggles that I've had for almost a decade, adductor, abductor, so my groin and my hip flexor, have been like on and off sore. My hamstrings, they get hurt every now and then. And in fact, in the build up to Boston, that happened. But yeah, none of these things, everything just really feels good. When I'm running hard, my quads aren't getting sore. So yeah, strength, we've always stressed the importance of strength training, but now I'm like a stuck record. You've just got to do it.
Yeah, it sounds like your body was falling apart in 2023, but it's definitely sorted itself out. And yeah, I guess it's one of those things, like if you think about like mechanics, cars are always broken and doctors' kids are always sick. It was the same with us. Like, you know how important it is, but you don't actually do it until you do it. And then you go, oh, actually, you know what? It is important. It's like me in training.
Yeah. Look, and these things are a measure of training load. So they're not really a measure of fitness, so to speak. But you know, we've harped on the previous two podcasts about how not to get stuck in what other people are doing and don't do too much. And this process is a classic example. Again, using myself as the example, is that I am currently, according to Strava and Training Peaks and Tilt, our training platform, all three of these things are pointing to the fact that I am currently as fit as I was in my peak training for Boston, but I'm nowhere near the mileage that I ran training for Boston. But I'm doing, as I said, the strength training, and I've been consistent for so much longer. And this very gradual ramp. So by building up slowly and being consistent over a prolonged period of time, you get yourself to very similar levels of fitness without like really having to punish your body with very high volume weeks. So that's another thing that, you know, that again, I've just experienced for myself again as a reminder over the years.
All right. Well, let's now talk about the people who aren't doing strength training or haven't. They've heard us banging on about it. They hear other people banging on about it, but don't do it. Is it too late in the build-up to Comrades 2024 to start doing some strength training now? Just a quick break from the podcast for a second to let you know and remind you that you need to pick up your Comrades Marathon Pace Band for Comrades 2024 right now. CoachParry.com/pace. You can also click on the link in the description to this podcast right now. Don't leave anything to chance. Make sure you plan the perfect race come race day. Head over to CoachParry.com/pace right now to get your custom Coach Parry pacing band for race day, to make sure you run the race that is best suited for where you are and your training right now. That's CoachParry.com/pace. You can click on the link in the description right now. And don't forget, you don't want to pick up just one. Don't just take your plan A. Make sure you've got a plan B and plan C as well. That's CoachParry.com/pace.
Running the Comrades Marathon doesn't have to be scary and intimidating. Just thinking about running 90 kilometers or 56 miles should give you butterflies in your stomach. Add to that the hills you have to run up and down and having to do it in under 12 hours. The thought of it is enough to freak the most seasoned runner out. Never mind a newbie to ultra running or a Comrades Marathon novice. As much as Comrades is a physical challenge, it's just as much a mental challenge. The constant mental gymnastics of second guessing yourself takes its toll. Am I training enough? How long should my long runs be? How many marathons should I run? What does this pain in my knee mean? My ankle is sore, should I rest or run? And then the two big ones. Am I fast enough? and will I finish? The questions never stop. The constant worrying is exhausting. And that's exactly why we've created the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. It's a proven step-by-step training plan to get you from where you are today to having a Comrades medal around your neck without the stress and worry, knowing that you've done what it takes to finish the ultimate human race, feeling strong and in control, ensuring that you arrive at the start line fit and most importantly, injury-free, because more than 64% of those who didn't finish the race last year started with an injury. The Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap guides you through every step of your comrades' journey. Training, qualifying, tapering, and race day. We've got you covered every step of the way. Simply head over to coachparry.com/up to get access to it now, or simply click on the link in the description. That's coachparry.com/up. Now back to the podcast.
Look, I want to say that it's never too late, but obviously, you know, there will come a time where it is too late.
Race week would be too late.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree. I think even up to 4 weeks, some strength training will be beneficial. But I'll just encourage you to start now, because the sooner you start, the better. You just need to be careful, obviously, starting now. You are in peak training, so you don't want to go crazy. You don't want to be pushing the heaviest weights you can push in the gym. So you do want to start out conservatively, probably mostly want to do body weight exercises with introducing some lighter stuff, but it is not too late. And if you can add in even one session a week, it's going to really contribute to your overall performance, to your overall injury risk, and it's definitely going to help you on race day. So you want to add it in. If you've got time to add in two sessions a week, particularly over the next 5-6 weeks, then do it. It'll be so good for you. Then, as we discussed with the people that have been doing strength training, when you get to that kind of 5-6 week mark, if you are really starting to struggle with the fatigue, then you can always drop back to one a week for those final few weeks running into the race. But yeah, if you haven't started yet, I strongly encourage you to start.
Yeah, and if you're not 100% sure about what sort of stuff you should be doing, the easiest and most simple way through is just check out the Coach Parry Training Club. I'll pop the link in the description below. You can sign up for the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. We live stream 7 strength classes every single week, so you don't even have to think about it. It's like having a personal trainer come into your lounge, and they will talk you through it. I mean, we've got some phenomenal strength coaches on our platform, so that will really make your life super easy. You can do it in the comfort of your own home. You don't need a gym contract. Literally, like Lindsay said, most of it is body weights. You might need some resistance bands, maybe a dumbbell or two. But if you're just starting out and you've never done strength training, body weight is more than enough. You will work in those things. Lindsay, one of the challenges too, you talk about being in peak training, but if you're just starting strength training now, obviously there'll be some fatigue and there is some stiffness from doing strength training, because you'll be stiff in places you didn't know you had places after you start doing strength training. How do you balance that fatigue of just starting out and then obviously the fatigue of the increased training load at this time in your comrades training?
That's why I've emphasized starting much easier, because actually that is typical, that we get some stiffness from the strength training early on in the cycle. But that's why I emphasize starting with body weight before we introduce any resistance or resistance bands, because actually I want to avoid the stiffness. Remember, we've spoken over the past few weeks, like, stiffness is actually damage that does require you to back off and rest. So if you do strength training that's hard enough to induce that stiffness, then we kind of don't want to run. Then we're working against everything that we're trying to do. So please start, but please start with body weight exercises so that we don't have that stiffness. If you go a bit overboard and there is that stiffness, then a day of cross training before you jump back into your normal training.
When you talk about strength training, if somebody's never done it, I know we spoke about it early on in the series of podcasts, but what sort of stuff are we looking at? I mean, you say body weight, but are we doing, what are we doing? Focusing on the legs? Are we focusing on core? What sort of stuff are you looking at?
Yeah, 90% of your focus should be on the legs, for particularly coming in now this late. So it'll be glutes, quads, a little bit of hamstrings, a little bit of calves, but your glutes and your quads are going to be your major focus area. and then a little bit also just of lower back and lower abdominals. Look, I always encourage people to throw in some upper body and in particular biceps, because when we run, we do use our upper body to drive the rhythm. As you get tighter, your upper body becomes much more important in terms of keeping you on track. And for my first ultra marathon, honestly, my biceps were literally, I couldn't straighten my arm for like days after my first ultra because my biceps were so sore. So I went a little bit there, but the bulk of your focus is going to be on your legs, getting nice strong legs. And that's exercises like single leg squats, stepping up onto a low step, doing ball squats. So again, we're sticking to the more basic quad and glute strengthening exercises and then expanding out from there as we just build up slowly with the strength training over the next 5 to 6 weeks.
Lindsay, before we wrap up, we talk about the sort of mental side of it and staying mentally fresh in the build up to Comrades. And we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago of people doing big mileage early on in Comrades training. And obviously that horse has bolted. If you are one of those people who is doing crazy mileage in January, you might be at the point now where you're feeling super fatigued. And there's still, I mean, we're 12 weeks. Often we talk about that's all you need is like a 12-week solid block to a marathon or to a half marathon. That's all you can actually sustain from a training perspective. But what happens if you get, we're 12 weeks out now and you're feeling mentally you're drained. You're going, you know what? I just want this race to come and go. I'm over it. I'm like done. What advice can you give to somebody who's really struggling from that point of view?
So very, very similar to an injury, you know, like missing 3 to 7 days of training now could make all the difference that you get full mental and physical recovery. You know, you do get some people that'll be totally sick of the Comrades training, but they're not sick of training per se. In fact, training is just such an important part of what they do that the thought of not training freaks them out more than the thought of the Comrades training, but they're just struggling mentally with the Comrades training. Then that kind of person, it's easy. Go and ride a bike over the weekend. So go on your favorite cycling route where there's scenery and you can just get in touch with nature by being outdoors or swimming in a lake or in the sea if you're lucky enough to have that kind of option, but keep it very different. And, you know, if you don't have that kind of anxiety around, like, I have to exercise, yeah, just take the weekend off. Like, you don't have to do every single long run that's on the plan. Go away for the weekend with friends or family, or, you know, have a little bit of a blowout doing something fun. But certainly, much like an injury, a few days or a week now can save you so much on your excitement and your ability to push through those last, well, we've still got quite a few weeks of training to push through a good chunk of training that's still to come.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, Lindsay, that there will be a time, I think everybody goes through this, where you are physically fatigued in the build-up to Comrades, and then you're questioning, like, is this really worth it? But obviously, this early in your training block, there is the concern where you just go, you know what, I'm not loving this, and you just switch off and disengage completely and then blow your Comrades. So again, as you said, it's very much like an injury. Just take a little bit of time and you should be back on track in no time.
Yeah. And even if it's not like a whole week, because then, you know, you are going to get anxious because you're missing a lot of training. Even if it is just a weekend, just to like really get your mind off, it's important because come race day, we all get to a point in the race where we're like, yo, this has gotten long. I'm so sore. You know, this, what was I thinking, et cetera, et cetera. And so you don't want to start Comrades tired of Comrades. So it is important to give yourself these breaks and like switch off from running a little bit and clear your head so that you can arrive at Comrades excited and fresh, so that when the going gets tough, you can convince yourself to stay in the race and not, because you're so negative at the start, convince yourself of all the reasons why you should stop.
Yeah, Lindsay, and I think, I mean, obviously we're talking about people who are fatigued and feeling really drained, but I think that's important for everyone, because just sort of this process of running Comrades, especially if you've never done it or if this is your first up, where
it is like all consuming. Like, it's just all you've been thinking about for the last few months is comrades. All you've been talking about for the last few months is comrades. Your circle of friends, it's the people you run with. It's just comrades. So extracting yourself from that, maybe doing something that's not running related. Maybe you've got another hobby that you've I know the Silver Runner guys neglect all their friends all the time, but maybe if you're feeling like you're into painting, like, go and hang out with those people who aren't into running and force yourself not to talk about comrades. Like, I think that is just having that break is really important as well.
Yeah. And that's, it could literally be as simple as setting something up weekly where you're hanging out with folks that don't care that you're a runner, that actually don't want to hear about the fact that you're training for comrades. And so it can just give you this regular break and detachment from what you are putting yourself through.
Yeah, and I know we've lost a lot of people. There are people who don't care that you run comrades. Believe it or not, that is it's weird. I don't understand that, but there are people in this world who don't care that we run comrades. So it's weird.
There are people in South Africa that don't know what comrades is, and we all need to just accept that.
I don't believe you on that one. They don't care that you run it, but I think everybody in South Africa knows what comrades is.
No.
All right. Don't forget, next week, Thursday, we are hosting another Comrades Marathon webinar. If you haven't registered for it yet, the link is in the description below. Please do save your seat. They are amazing. Going to be live answering questions, so do join us for that. That is next week, Thursday. The link is in the description below. If you missed the last one, you can catch the replay of that as well. They're always great fun. And I know the last one, Mr. Price Sport, gave away some goodies. I'm pretty sure Birdie told me they're going to be doing the same thing on the next one. So make sure you're on live, because that is only available on the live stream. So we look forward to having you on that one. Lindsay, as always, great to have you on. Any parting words from you before we go, or can I wrap things up?
No, just keep it real. And as we said last week, it's the little things that count. So just keep stacking up little thing on little thing.
Exactly. And until next week, from the two of us, it's cheers. Thank you for listening to this episode of Up. Don't forget to pick up your custom Comrades Marathon 2024 pace band right now. We'll print them out and make sure we've got them waiting for you at the expo in Durban in the build up to Comrades. So head over to coachparry.com/pace or click on the link in the description right now.